Thanks for downloading this episode of the Nerdball Podcast. I am your host, Lorenzo Melcher. Back at it again, in my basement, as usual. Although I did get a comment on how the guest today liked my background. So that was not in the podcast. That was before the podcast. But anyway, I am here living it up, doing a podcast. Thanks for all of you for always liking, sharing, subscribing, downloading this thing. Find us on any social media, search the Nerdball Podcast. I don't know if you're going to be seeing this video portion of it because my video has been messing up lately and I have not figured out why. So it may just be audio only this week. And that's why TikToks haven't been coming out either. It's not that I don't do them. It's for some reason the video and audio are not matching up. So, but anyway, keep watching, keep subscribing, keep doing all that. If you want to be on the podcast, hit us up at thenerdballpodcast@gmail.com. I will get you on. So this guest is someone I just met a couple weeks ago, handed them a business card and said, why don't you come on my podcast? And he did just that. So thanks again. Thanks to all of you. Hope you enjoy the episode.
Hey, my name's Ed McCarthy, and this is the Nerdball Podcast.
This is the Nerdball Podcast with Lorenzo Melcher.
All right, Ed, thanks for coming on my podcast today. Bright and early on a Sunday. I was going to make some joke about it being St. Patrick's Day, but I figure you've gotten that your entire life. So,
yeah, I've already gotten people sending me clovers, and yeah, I'm Irish.
Yeah.
So I've already got those texts.
All right. Did your friends, so I went to college for a little bit until they told me not to come back because I wasn't going to classes. Yeah. But I know my friends, whenever we were around together or we lived in BG on Cinco de Mayo, they wanted me to live my best life ever. Is that how St. Patrick's Day is for you?
No, I can't remember anything like that. I think I've just known a ton of Irish people, but yeah, for you being a little bit more of a minority, I can see them. Today's your day, buddy. Yeah.
They're just
this
like,
is your day.
Or whenever we would go out to the bar, I don't care what time of year it is. Here's one shot of tequila. I'm like, I don't like tequila.
Yeah. What do you think of the landscaping out front of the bar? That looks great.
Yeah, man.
Did you do that? Yeah. Yeah. Only because I know your comedy. I'm not instantly racist like that.
No, you're good.
I've heard your, I don't just go, yeah. But no,
that is a wild take if we just first met.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I said to you was, I was like, tall Mexican?
Dude,
and you
I loved
said
it.
Yes.
I loved it.
Well, because we heard 30. Oh, really? Yeah. Well, we heard 32 comics. Yeah. And, but I also remember, in my head, I was like, oh, tall Mexican, whatever round you were out, I was like, oh, I wanted him to go. So yeah, then when he came up to me, I was like, hmm.
That was the very first round. So if you guys don't know what we're talking about, it was the Crumbly Cup. It was 32 comics do a minute each round, and then they get voted on by three judges. That was my first time doing it. I've known Dave for a while, but that was it's cool. And what he's doing there at Ernest and with his shows and stuff is pretty neat too. Like he's doing it's pretty sweet. And he has some big things that he's doing now with the Crumbly Cup that might move venues. And I'll let him, you know, talk about that at some point. But it's cool. And it was a lot of fun. It was packed. Even though I got knocked out in the first round, my parents and my sister and some other family were there. They had a lot of fun too. So it was a cool night.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought your set was great. And I was shy. No offense to whoever beat you. I don't know. I was like, dang, I really thought you were supposed to move on that first round. And it was like the most fun night as a comedy fan, even not even as a comic. Yeah. It was like, I was like, this is the coolest thing. You're getting the best. You're getting 64 solid minutes, right? Oh, I think altogether it ends up because it goes 32, 16, 8, 4, you know, and such a fun night. But
yeah,
I don't know who it was. Yeah.
It was cool. And you got second. So that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, that was exciting.
And it was cool because that was the first time I met you that night. And then we saw each other again over at Joe at the Casual Pint, and you're like, I'm gonna try all this new stuff, and all that new stuff was sweet too. I was like, man, this is good shit.
Thank you, man. I thank you. I appreciate that. I listened to it for the first time last night. It always takes me such a long time to listen to it because do you listen to your stuff? It's the hardest thing in the world. And you're like, I think it went okay. And then you listen to it and you flub a couple lines and you're like, I shouldn't even live. You know, I don't deserve be on earth. There's nothing more. I mean, I'm new to all this, but I know that that's part of the thing is you got to listen to your sets.
Yeah.
And, but no, I appreciate you saying that. I feel like, yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife was there at Casual Pint and I messed up my very first joke. And she was like, she goes, you did a good job. I go, yeah, but I fucked up the very first line. She goes, ah, that's all right. I was like, yeah, but that gets me, it gets you nervous right away. They're like, oh my God, I just messed up this joke I've been telling for years. And now I messed it up and whatever. Yeah. And you know, it makes it also open mics. Cause I used to do, just give you some of my background. I did comedy probably off and on for about 4 years. And then I stopped for about 5 years. Like I didn't do anything. And then I recently started back into it. My brother-in-law, Jake Paluski, he runs it's called the Levi and Lilac, the Listening Loft, in Maumee. And he produces a bunch of music shows. And then we got together and did a comedy show. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to do 5 minutes. I haven't done it in a while. And it was a lot of fun. So I started doing it. So it's been about a year where I've been doing a little bit more, but I haven't done an open mic. I haven't done an open mic in a while. And I told my wife, I go, man, I now I remember, like, I appreciate audiences who know a comedy show is coming because they are ready to laugh and ready to be a part of it. And like, if they're more open to it and this is just, that's how open mics are though, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I mean, you had a solid set at the Casual Pint. And also by the time you went up, people had finally started to pay attention. Yeah. We had never done that setup before Joe had never done that setup.
That's what Joe said. Yeah.
Yeah, we're usually in the back room, so it's like the hard part is the other comics aren't listening to you, which I don't know. In my head, I'm like, always, I want the other comics to hear so they can be like, hey, you know, tech, whatever, like give some input. But when you're in that little room, it only fits like 30, but at least they chose to come into this room where there's comedy. Instead, you grab a mic, they're watching the basketball game behind you, you know, and you're like, it's weird. But no, I think after a few comics, then people at the Casual Pint kind of understood like, hey, let's all face that way. And, you know, these people want attention. Let's give it to them or whatever. You know?
Yeah. So, yeah. And yeah, that's some rooms too. Some rooms, depending, or some restaurants or bars will turn TVs off or music or that kind of stuff. But you know, it's their place of business. You know, they'll do what they want to do, and they're just letting people tell jokes.
It ended up being a solid night, though, and it's true. With an open mic, if somebody chuckles at a joke at an open mic, that joke's gonna kill at a real thing. That's what I got out of the Crumbly Cup. I was like, yeah, because all I had done is I did a showcase show my first time ever up in Michigan. Like I did like a comedy class, right? Cause I'm like, I don't have the courage to go on stage. I need someone to force me out. So I paid $200, did a comedy class. And then you get a showcase night, which is like a show.
Yeah.
And then everything I've done since then has been open mics where you're like, I'm not funny and I'm the worst person on earth. And then Crumbly Cup. Like I was like, yo, these people are maybe a little too hammered, some of them, but it was like, oh my God, they all showed up for comedy and it was so fun. Like, oh, that's laughter. I love laughter. That's great. You know,
but that's why you do it, right? Like you can only make your wife and your children laugh at you so much, you know?
Oh yeah. That ship sailed so long ago. I'd have to jump off the roof at this point to get a smile.
I still get my son, because my son is we're very similar in the sense of humor, so I can say something stupid or whatever, and his laugh, like when I get him really good, it's really audible, but he does the, you know, he smiles really big and he does the like exhale out of the nose that you can hear. Ooh. And I was like, ooh, I got you. I could still get him, but it's because we're very similar, so it's easy pickings.
Yeah. How old?
My son's 12 and I got a daughter who's 9. Yeah.
There you go. Okay. I've got 10 and 7. Daughter 10, son 7. So same life.
Yeah, dude. It's that was most of my comedy when I started, you know, when I was into it for about 4 years. It was all kid-based because that's all I knew, and parenting and, you know, and so the open mics I would go to are like these comics who are, you know, 20, who don't have kids and don't understand it, or we're in a, like, I never go down to BG because it's just college students, and all I had at the time was parenting material, so I never went down. And I was like, it's not going to be fun for me. like if yeah, I yeah, do yeah. it.
Yeah, but if it's funny, if it's funny, it's funny. I know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know Roberto that well, but he's someone I've been meeting through these, and he might have gone up maybe before or after you, but he's just a lot of parenting stuff, and it crushed, and it's like I think if it's funny, it's funny. But same thing. True. I every week since I started comedy, whatever, I always think I got to get down to BG. One, it's like late, and I'm an adult with whatever. Yeah. But also, I'm just like, what if it's all these college kids, you know, that are like talk about beer, and I'm like, kids are crazy, you know, and it doesn't. But it seems great. I mean, I don't want to like Victor posts that. Like, I always get jealous when they're like, oh, it was a packed night. I'm like, God, that's another night I didn't drive down to BG, and you know, because there's only so many opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, like, I'm trying to do this at least 4 times a month, but in a city like Toledo, it's, you know, a little tougher.
Yeah. Well, you're right. If it's funny, people are going to laugh about it. It was just me in my head. Like, I just, you know, I know, even though I lived in BG for like 3 years, like, I'm well aware of BG and what's there. And
yeah.
And even that bar, Grumpy Dave's, like, I spent a lot of time in that bar with my friends. Cause, I don't know if you know anything about that bar, but at the time, I'm assuming they still do, they have a wall of foam because they have so many beers there. If you have at least one beer of every one they have, you get your like picture on the wall, and you get a giant mug. And my buddy did that over the course of 4 years, like was able to drink every beer that they have there.
Wow. So
I spent a lot of time there, and it's a cool spot. I just, you know, at some point I'll go down there. But again, you're right. The lateness plays a factor. Like, if I have to take a vacation day because I'm doing a comedy night, you know, the night before.
Yeah, exactly. It's like something happened where once your kids, like, now that I'm out of the baby phase, I mean, I used to be such a night owl. And now, like, I could fall asleep at 8:45 right now if I had to. Because when your kids get to an age where, like, they'll, you know, bedtime is still like a go to bed. It's like still kind of a battle sometimes. But if I want to, I can fall asleep at 8:45. That wasn't an option for 5, 6, 7 years of your life, you know? And now it's like when they're like, yeah, it doesn't get started till 10 PM. And you're like, what? Is that legal?
It's late.
Yeah. And then you're tired the next day. I teach. Yeah. So I'm up pretty early.
I was asking what time you get up.
Yeah. Like 6, you know?
Okay.
That's a lie. I'm trying to sound better than I am. 6:40. I literally roll out of bed and then just start teaching. I like don't. I'm a night shower, so.
Oh, I'm a night shower too. Yeah, I get up. I usually get up about 6:15. Enough time to throw my contacts in, get my clothes on, and then say my son's up usually by the time I leave, so I'll talk to him for a little bit. And I'm out. I work for the Toledo Metro Parks, so I'm a supervisor there. So I get up, and my staff gets in at 6. I get in at 7, and then
Figure
out the rest of it. So.
You get it. You've got an early job too. A lot of people work at, you know, 8:39 and stuff like that, but like they have breakfast and
I never eat breakfast. I don't have time for it, and I don't know about, because I'll eat it on the weekends, and then like I don't want to do anything for an hour and just, you know, I guess I can. There's always a happy medium where you can just have a light breakfast and not feel like shit.
Yeah. Breakfast was so important when we were growing up, and then now it's all about fasting. I've been doing that for 2 years. Like,
okay,
don't eat till noon or something, just to, you know, but it'll change. The science will change and all that. But yeah, it was everything. But I'm like, people would talk about breakfast, and I'm like, I never ever eat breakfast because who has time for it? And I'm fine. I feel pretty healthy. But yeah, do you like your job?
Oh, that I love.
Sounds
it.
Like it.
I love.
I was
it.
Say that.
Yeah. It's fun. I work for Glass City Metro Park, the brand new one downtown on the east side, and I love it. It's so much fun. I mean, I get to work in a park, which is cool. I don't always get outside because I being a supervisor, I'm inside in meetings or, you know, answering emails, that kind of stuff. It's fun. I've been there almost 4 years, and it's cool. And because like all the stuff we're doing along the river, like it's more exciting because that's all pertains to me. So that's cool too. Cause we're transforming the riverside and making a huge river walk. I don't know if you know anything about what's going on down there, but it's on both sides of the river, 2.5 miles on both sides of the river. It's going to be a river walk with parks and that kind of stuff. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Ice skating. Don't you guys have that?
Yeah, we do that. That's at the park that I run. Yep. That's a lot of fun. It's a lot of stress too, because there's a whole building just dedicated to maintaining ice, building and maintaining ice. And like if something goes wrong in there or something shuts down because it's low on oil, or you know, there's so much stuff that can go wrong. And then when it does, if it's a warm day, you know, it's you're in trouble. So it's a little stressful, but it's
ice seems difficult. So how long will you guys be ice skating? Because my kids just got into it.
Oh, so we start in November and go all the way until March. So this year we went to March 3rd.
Oh, so it's over. Got it.
Yeah. But it's super popular. We had 50,000 people skate this season, which is pretty sweet. This is our first full season. Last year we did like a 6-week trial just to see how it would go.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's great. People love it. That's awesome.
Yeah. And that's cool. I like seeing, I do read Facebook comments just because I'm a terrible person apparently, I do like to read like all the comments people make. It's always about security and safety and that kind of stuff. And those people usually live in the suburbs and don't even live in Toledo. So
yeah.
we got into comedy real quick. I didn't even get to ask you it's fun. Trust me. If I have similar likes with people, like obviously that makes the conversation a lot better, so I'm cool with it, but I do want to find out, but the question I always ask everyone is what is something you've been nerding out about, something you're really into, a hobby, something you've been doing for forever, something you just got into, I don't know, maybe it is comedy, but just something that you kind of do to get away from your daily job.
So I probably have no bigger obsession than comedy, but I have a ton of close seconds. I guess I would say music. I've always, like in high school, I was in a band and I was like all about punk rock and emo,
Did you say emo?
Oh yeah. Like,
that's my favorite music. I love emo. Oh yeah. Dashboard Confessional, Take It Back Sunday is my favorite band ever.
There you go.
Tell All Your Friends is my favorite album.
So, oh my gosh. Yeah.
You know, I love all that.
I know. I literally would hear that album and I'm like, I hope my girlfriend cheats on me. And then she did. I want something to write about. Brand New.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, to me, the best lyricist of all time. Then he got in trouble. He got Me Too'd.
Oh, did he?
I found out about him and Louis C.K. on the same day.
Oh, no shit.
That was like at the height of the, they were both. And you're like, guys are doing this? Like,
like, that's crazy.
Guys are like weird, like you just don't think. But yeah, dude, I mean, emo, like Warped Tour every year for like 5 or 6 years straight. Yeah, all that, you know. And now wait, so I'm 35.
I'm 39.
So you know, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I was in a band and we would do Battle of the Bands, like where I'm from, like a big suburb of Cleveland, Strongsville.
I'm from
out there. And I mean, when I was in high school, there were probably like 20 bands. Like that was huge. Like everybody was in a band. A lot of them were more like metal, screamo, and we were writing more like poppy stuff. But and just ever since then, always done music, to the point where like me and three other guys that I teach with, they're all math teachers just in my hallway. You know, we have like we'll like kind of get together and like learn a bunch of songs, and like we've been like writing songs. It's just fun. Music's always just been a thing, just a huge hobby. I'm like, very few days have gone by where I haven't like just picked up a guitar and like strummed, like ever since I was 16. So
that there was as I got older and paid attention to the lyrics, like it made me like them more, because I you know, as a you know, when I started listening to Take It Back Sunday, I was probably 16 or 17, and I'm like, all right, these are cool. I memorized them all, and you know, some, you know, but as you get older, like, man, these are like really good. And one thing I'm terrible at is song names, like especially Take It Back Sunday, because theirs have nothing to do with the lyrics, you know? But I really liked it. And there was one TikTok guy, he's like, he was talking about music and emo. He was saying something about the most emo lyric of all time. What do you think it is?
Can I predict?
Go for it. Let's see.
Is it Taking Back Sunday?
It is Taking Back Sunday.
I don't want to interrupt you.
No, it's. I did this to my buddy too, and he knew it. He messed it up by word, but it was. you could how'd it go? You could slip my wrist, and with my dying last dying breath, I would apologize for bleeding on your shirt. And I was like, yes,
that's so funny, dude. I tell my students that line. Like, I'm like, you're not emo if you don't know the truth is you could slit my throat, and yeah, with my one last gasping breath, I'd apologize for bleeding on your shirt. Yeah. That, and at the time, you're just like, yeah, dude, that's so crazy. That I'm not a TikToker, so I don't want you to think like, yeah, I saw this yesterday, that's why I know. Like, that's so funny that you could say the most emo line ever, and I go, yep, I know exactly what. It's the second verse of the sixth track of the Tell All Your Friends album. You know what I mean? Seventh track?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't even know the name of that song. Like, I don't know song names.
Oh, yeah, that one's tough. She said, don't let it go to you. Dude, what's the name of it? Yeah. Oh, that's
it.
Tough.
I'll find it. It's
not cute without the E, because that's the your lip.
Let's see.
2002.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven is Timberwolves at New Jersey.
Oh, then I'm wrong. Then maybe it's 8, because I feel like it's later. It's a hit, but it's later.
Let's see. Yeah, Blue Channel. It's 8. Because it's this
Blue
one, right?
Blue Channel was more of a. Yeah, it's coming up. It's after this one.
You're so last summer.
You're so last summer. Yeah. Gosh, how are we supposed to remember? I had a Fall Out Boy took it to the next level, where they're like, our agent made us change the lyrics. You know, like, that's track one. That's insane.
You know, that was Fall Out Boy. Now I'm trying to see, because there, I will know there's one thing I really like about emo music is that, like, a lot of them are like, I like screaming, that's cool. I like, you know, mm-hmm. but when bands like The Used are a lot of screaming, and then they have like a ballad where there's no screaming, I like those songs too. I think maybe that's why I like Dashboard so much, because it isn't a lot of like screaming and stuff.
Yeah, it's there. He has a great voice. Mm. Yeah, and that stuff was so emo, and it's fun. Like, everybody makes fun of emo. Like, people didn't even say the word back then, you know. No. But now it's like I have, you know, I teach high schoolers. Everybody knows like the word emo, and they all wear like My Chemical Romance shirts and stuff. And it's like, and it's also fun to make fun of them. Like, I don't think you understand how sick. Like, I don't know. Like, just the lyrics, the emotion of it all. It was great. It wasn't, I think people think like, I hate my dad.
Yeah.
They think that's, and it's like, that's not what it was. It was just like, just the best. I don't know. Yeah. I was always so, and as someone who was trying to write music in high school, everything that came out of me was like more like the Ataris, like pop punk, like pretty simple. Yeah. I can never write. Yeah. You really appreciate lyricists. I still to this day, I'm like, how do they, the quantity that they're able to come up with, you know? Like, it's hard to not just write like the memories faded and I feel jaded, and it's hard to not. Same with comedy. It's like really easy to be like, you know, my wife is dumb, you know. Like, how do you actually be funny rather than just do what 98% of people could do, you know? It's, I don't know, I've always loved it. That was my first obsession, was music. I saw my friend play When I Come Around on guitar when I was 14, and I was like, he's gonna be famous, and I need a guitar now. And then I bought one for $100 with an amp, and then that. So do you play?
I don't, and I liked the thought of being in a band. Like, it was fun, and you know, even when my buddies in high school, I would be like there just so I could be on stage. Maybe that was part of me, the start of me being on stage, but I would be like their bouncer or whatever, and I would like be up there. And I think I remember one show, there's this place, it was a real tiny place that where a bunch of high school bands always played. It was called Luke's Barn, and we used to go there, and I would be on stage. I had a white button down with the sleeves cut off and sunglasses, and I would just stand on there. And one time, it was the best, I think about it now, and it was one of the best days of my life, when I was, especially then, my buddy had this band. They were called Jane Harvard. They only put out like 6 songs. They weren't together very long, as most high school bands are bouncing around. And I knew all the songs, all the words to every song they had. And I was up there and my buddy turned to me and goes, "Hey, you can sing this one." And I'm like, "What?" And I sang my heart out, and it was so fun, dude.
Dude. Yeah. That's awesome.
If there's one thing I like about being in the band is singing, even though I'm not very good, but don't tell my shower that. Like I'm all about it.
Yeah. Singing's one of those things where you just have to go for it. Yeah. You just have to go for it. Like we tried out singers, and then after we tried out a few, I was just like, "All right, guys, I'll just do it." And I just sang out of my nose for a long time, and then I did the church stuff for 10 years and was a worship leader. And then I kind of learned a little more how to like not sound like an idiot. But I've known some crazy singers where it's like, all right, you can sing. Like when you see someone who can like actually sing, and it's like a magic trick, you know, but it's like, there's a lot when it's punk rock or whatever genre your friends are doing. It's like, if you've got the energy, man, you can pull it off. If you've got the confidence, you can grab that mic and do it.
My brother-in-law, the one that produces shows, he's also been doing music for forever, and he plays piano, and he's a really good singer. And we used to go to karaoke nights before COVID, and now we've gone a couple times, but since COVID, it's just more gross to me. I don't know why, but so he sang. We used to make him like sing like really hard songs because he's a good singer. So he sang 30 Seconds to Mars, The Kill. Murdered it, dude.
No way.
Murdered it. At the time, he had long brown hair, a beard, looked like Jared Leto, and just, dude, it was so good. So good.
Break me down. Dude. Is that one?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's falsetto. That's fake. No. That's a song we've put on like our playlist for me and my friends of like potential. We have a playlist called like, we should learn these songs. Yeah. And then I put that one on there, and then we're like, nah, dude, none of us could come close to the Kill Break. Yeah. I don't know anything else of theirs besides that, but that's cool. Mm-hmm. I can't belt that. I could fake it.
I think that's why I like those ballads so much too, because I always feel like, I call them ballads. I don't know. I could be just being an idiot, but because the range doesn't change as much in those songs.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I like it. Like I was just looking for one. I found it. I don't know if you know the band Say Anything.
Yep.
So that was one of my favorite bands too. And again, their album is full of weird. I think their album's full of weird song titles as well. And, but they have one on there, and it's I want to say it's towards the end of the album. I don't know for sure, but a slow one where I love it. Let's see. I'm trying to look for it right now. I don't know. I'd have to click through it. I'd have to find them. Anyway, it's another one that I really like, but their song titles, like one is Yellow Cat / Red Cat, spider song. So I really like that one too. But yeah, just seeing, like you're right, seeing someone like sing, like who's really good at it is just, I don't know. You're right. I think you said it right when you said it's a magic trick, because it is weird.
Oh yeah. Especially being involved with church stuff for so long. Like I've just met some of the greatest musicians ever, you know, and I feel like, especially with church, I feel like when you're doing something a couple times a week, then all of a sudden you just, you know, you get all these people who could be like, what key are we in? You know, and the harmonies and everything, whatever instrument they're playing. And like someone I played drums with, Ashley, like she's in a really popular band, right? At Pop's Garage. Like they play all the places in Toledo, everywhere. And they do like top 40 songs. They're playing, you know, Shut Up and Dance With Me and all that stuff. And they're so good, you know? Like I just see these people now doing music, but anyway, it's
What's the name of your math teacher band?
We call ourselves Flight Clearance. We had to come up with a name a couple weeks ago because we did a battle of bands with the students.
Oh, okay.
The students couldn't put. There were no bands in the school though. That's what was said. So it was us, the teachers, and then this band of kids who went to Whitmer High a few years ago. Now they're 20 somethings. So it was just two bands, but no, we say Flight Cleaner because anytime we go, hey, do you guys want to get together and jam? And we all say like, well, I gotta get flight clearance first from the wife. And so we're like, let's just call ourselves Flight
Clearance. Perfect. Yeah. I had a joke in that, if I would have made it further, where I said something like that, like, I think it was something like my buddies always make fun of me because they say I have to ask for permission. I was like, I don't have to ask, kind of. I mean, the reason I'm standing here is because she said yes. So I guess, you know, like that is that's a lot of it is like, hey, do you mind if I do this thing? You know, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think what some guys don't get is, you know, most wives do that too to their husbands. Like, hey, I'm gonna go hang out with my buddies. Do you, with my friends, do you mind if we go out? Yeah, sure, whatever, you know.
Yeah. I've been asking for more stuff lately than ever, because now there'd be like open mics and stuff come up, and she has her work schedule and stuff, and it'll be like, I'll just be like, hey, next Wednesday there's a, and I just kind of trench warfare. I just kind of like, hey, next Wednesday there's a thing, and then I hide, and then, you know, she's like, I guess I can come home from work early, whatever. But like with a lot of them, I just like on Tuesday I showed up late, and that's just gonna be my life. But asking the wife permission.
Has she gone to open mics with you?
No, just because like what would we do with the kids? And honestly,
I was gonna ask if you had family around here.
I mean, I still haven't it took me so long just to tell other people I had done comedy. I did it in November. That was my showcase set. And then it took 2 months before I told another human being that, you know, that I'd done it. I like posted it on Facebook, and that's when I was like literally me coming out like, hey, I tried comedy. I was just, that's what kept me from doing it for my whole life was fear. Like, is there anything, we still experience it. Is there anything worse than saying something that you're like, dude, this is funny, and then they don't laugh and you're like, whoa. So it took me a long time to get into it out of fear. And then like I think I have one friend coming to something in a couple weeks, and I'm nervous about that. I don't care about strangers, but it's like, if I know you and you don't laugh, now it's the next level, you know.
Yeah,
stuff you don't, and I don't know.
I think the first time I did it, the Funny Bone used to have an open mic, so I went there. So I got to be like on an actual stage, and that was cool. And you know, those jokes are gone for forever. I think there's my wife was pregnant with our daughter at the time, and now she's 9, so that was, you know, so long ago. And I think I made a joke about her, like something about the word due or due date or something, and something about it made it sound like a package or something. I can't remember what it was, but something so stupid. And you know, now you think now like, okay, now I'm debating whether or not, how do I start, where do I put this word? Is it in front of this word or this word? And like how to write is all different. And you know, but it is terrifying, especially when you're like, hey, you want to come watch me do this thing? And you know, I'm pretty good at it now with some of my jokes, and I invite people, and I'm still nervous about it, like, because I see these, like, I invite work people, and I see these people every day, and now it's like, all right, well, I hope I do well, because they'll just give me shit about it. Which is good too, sometimes.
I got to get there where I'm more open about it and, hey, come to this. Cause that's, I don't know. I really struggle to get, cause it's like, you know, I feel like it's inviting someone to the gym. It's like, until I'm again, whenever it is, doing like a show, like an actual big show or whatever, it's like everything else to me just feels like practice. Like I'm just always trying to work, you know, try out new stuff. And then if it's a show, then, you know, so I just know an open mic's never going to be killer. But
that's when I invite people to shows. I won't invite them to open mics. My wife comes often just because our kids are older and we have family in town, but other than that, no.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Yeah
I want them to experience a show, because it'll make them come back to, like, you know, maybe they've never seen a comedy show, and maybe it gets them into comedy, or maybe you know, when I'm on another show, they'll come without even asking because they saw it somewhere posted or whatever. So like, I like people to experience it because it is fun. Like as much as they have fun in the crowd, they don't understand how, like, we have way more fun on stage, like hearing those laughters. Yeah. And you know, a lot of times when you tell a joke and you laugh, like you laugh, I know for me, like when I laugh about something that they're laughing about, I'm like, all right, it's like excited laugh, like, oh, they love it, or they liked it, or they got it, or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Especially when it's a more, there's some things you write where you're like, oh, that's such a good analogy or line, where you're like, okay, I'm pretty sure that'll work. But when it's a subtle thing and it works, which is half of my stuff, like that's such a good feeling. Cause you're like, I think I'm wording this right where it's funny. And then you say, you know, because not every single joke you say is super high energy. So when it's the little subtle thing and it gets a laugh, you're like, whoa, that could, That could be, it's fun. It's exciting. I'm saying, just like you were talking about writing, that's what I obsess about is like, if I rearrange, because every funny line that's out there, there are 20 unfunny ways to say that. There, you know what I mean? But then when you finally unlock, you know, and I could tell you do that just by, I've only heard your stuff a couple times, and I know like the migrant worker, you know, that's a perfect joke. It's like there's a lot of ways to say that wrong, but you say blah blah blah, it's because you've been calling them the wrong thing or something like that. I don't exactly know the punchline, but it's like, yeah, that's something where you had to, how do I fr it's funny, but how do I phrase it? And it's a puzzle. It's such a fun puzzle.
You know what helps too is especially in that case, like I have a buddy who used to do comedy. He lives in California now, and I will send him my sets all the time. Like I'll record myself and send it. He goes, and a lot of times it's just like, hey, yeah, that was cool, or I really like that new joke or whatever. But one time I asked him, like, hey, can we write together? And he you know, I'll give credit to him. Like he gave me that line. And I was like, you know what? I do like, I'm gonna try it and figure it out. Because before that, it was funny with what I was saying. But you know, now it's better. And because you know, just like you said, well, I hope comics hear it, maybe they'll help here or there. No one's gonna offer advice unless you ask them, especially another comic, because no one's gonna assume that you want to change something. So if you go up to someone and be like, hey, what'd you think about that? They might say, oh yeah, it was good. It's like, I'm trying to change it or whatever. If you think of something else, let me know. And that's kind of what me and my friend do, is like, I'll send them some stuff and we'll write and talk about it or whatever and go from there. But it's just those tiny lines, like you said, sometimes you don't know if it's gonna work and sometimes it does. And or sometimes the best laugh is when you say something that you're just like filling time to get to the next joke, and they laugh at that thing too. You're like, oh, that wasn't even a joke, but okay.
Yeah, that feels good. Yeah, at the Crumbly Cup, that was my first time experience like loud. No offense to whoever was there, but some people were really, really loud up front, and you know, and I'm like, you know, I have no aspirations to be like the crowd work guy, but I said something and it got a laugh, and it was like pretty mean, but you're like, whoa, I think I can like, you know, handle a heckler or a loud person or whatever. And yeah, it is funny when you don't expect it yourself. But yeah, I don't know if you've met like Nate McClellan at these open mics, Nate.
No.
But yeah, he's him and I will send each other stuff, and I've always wanted someone, you know, to be able to do that with. Like he'll be at work and just do like a 2 minute like, so I was thinking of my grandpa, and he'll just send me it, and I'll be like, oh, that's funny, dude. I got to send him more than he sends me. I still feel like a coward with that. But yeah, it's fun to just bounce ideas off. And because I don't know about you, but that's what I got out of the comedy class, is whenever another person's on stage, I'm always thinking of tags and always thinking of like, oh, what they could do there. But you just come off as a jerk if you're not close. You know what I mean? If I go up to, you know, Emily from Tuesday or whatever, I'm like, great joke. You know what you got to do? It's like, oh my God, you know. But it's like you can't help wanting to. It was so fun in the comedy class too. It's most of us, it's our first time on stage ever. We all go up there for like 10 minutes at a time and just kind of like ramble. And then this guy, Bill, like yells at us. He's like, get to the point. Come on. We got to laugh. Like it's great practice. It's awesome. But then afterwards, it's a bunch of like, you know what you could say there? And then to give someone a line and then they use it at the showcase show and it gets a laugh. And you're like, I gave him that. Yeah. It's so fun. It's like it is a puzzle.
And
Because
they're also like, to me too, that like it's happened a few times, and there's also no feeling of like you're excited. You're still excited. You're not like, oh man, I should have used that line or whatever. Cause you wrote it, it's still got a laugh. Like it got a laugh, and that's ultimately the goal. So no matter who says it, like who's a part of it or whatever, that line that was created out of this group or this couple or whatever still got a laugh, and
yeah.
that's the ultimate, you know, was what you want
Oh
anyway.
yeah. It's never a line you would want to keep yourself anyway, because yeah, it's not something you would have, it's not a premise you would have come up with anyway. But if you think of a funny line, it's fun to, yeah. But I still haven't gone up to too many people after these open mics and said, hey, you know what you could say? But I know that's how my brain is always thinking, like, what else could, or what else could they relate this to, or whatever. But
Hopefully you do that when
yeah.
you listen to your sets.
Yeah.
Like what can I do here?
It's hard, man, because you'll like write a bit and you'll have like three funny lines in it. And you're like, that bit's done. And you're like, that's not how it works. It's like,
No.
this, if it's good, how can this thing be a bigger, bigger,
Yeah.
bigger, better? You know, because then you watch the greats and you're like, oh man, they're doing a 5-minute bit and it's something that started off as a little 30-second nugget. And you're like, how do they, you know, it's the puzzle of piecing it together.
Well, that I really want to get, I really want to like do more with Speedy Gonzalez. And like I told my buddy, and I even told my wife, I was like, I want to make this more. I don't know what it is yet, but I know I want to make it more, because right now it's just like this little thing that I mentioned, and you know, trying to make it more. And I think that's what you're speaking about. It's like, yeah, this is all great, but let's build on this and make it better, you know.
It's because it's always about just coming at it with a different angle, you know what I mean? So it's like, and yours was used to Speedy Gonzalez, and then it was his brother. What was his brother?
His cousin, his name is Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Is that
Yeah,
true?
it is very true. Yeah, it is very
Yes.
true.
Oh, see, yeah.
So the
Did
first
you
time I,
say it's
the first,
true?
yes, I did. I think so. I'd have to listen back.
That's
The
funny.
very first time I did that, I said, and I said, did the same thing I did there. I go, does anybody know what his cousin's name? And there was about 10 people in the audience the first time. It was like, it said that said his name. I was like, yes, okay, you get
No way. You could be like, this is a cheap joke. But then he also had a black cousin. Did you guys know his name? And I'd be like, he didn't. I just wanted to see if you guys would yell the N-word or something. I don't know. Just again, that's just first thing my brain thought. He
No,
also had
that's
a
good.
black
That's good.
cousin. Anybody? Anybody? Nah, I'm just wanted to see what you guys would yell.
They're only racist towards Mexicans, so you guys are. No, my buddy just sent me a clip from Louis C.K. He was doing an interview, and he was talking about setting up. He was talking about specials, and he's like, "To me, specials, they're called specials because they live forever, and they got to be really good. They're going to be out there for forever." And he said it's kind of like when they make samurai swords, they have the metal, they hit it, they fold it again, and hit it again, and they do that a bunch of times to harden the metal and to make it really good. He goes, "The same thing with comedy. You can have a really good closing 20 minutes, but if you start and you have a good starting 20 minutes, and then the middle's like, ah, I know I got a really good end 20, I'm just going to coast through here, then everything's not going to be really good." He goes, "Sometimes I will take my best 20 minutes and put it at the front, because now I know, like, all right, no, I don't have anything to fall back on, and I got to like build upon that." He goes, "After you do that so many times, you have so many closing bits. Your special is just full of closing bits because you're just constantly moving things around and making sure you're uncomfortable."
And you know he's not, I've seen that video too. You seem like a nerd, just like I am. Like I see a video like that and I just save it, and I've watched that a few times. Like it's, and you know he's not lying about that, because you watch his stuff and it's like he's the one of the first guys to really put out so much funny stuff, like year after year after year after year, you know. And then he's crazy, you know. I get jealous of him, like how can you come up with all this? But
Well, the
that's
clips
what
I
you got
see
to
him,
do.
The clips I see of him now is him just reading out of the Bible, and he has bits out of things that he found in the Bible, and he and that's the,
Really?
are his bits. Yeah, there's parts
What?
that I've seen. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I'll
But
if
you
I
can
see
t
one, I'll send it to you. But yeah, it's he just like, hey, I don't know. I don't remember any of them, but he will flip to a page, which, like, I'm sure he has gone through the Bible and found things that he thought could be funny and built upon it. And he'll go and read the verse, and then go from there. Yeah.
You know what's crazy too? It's like I hear you say that, and then I get nervous as someone who has my Bible bits, and I'm like, oh no, Louis better not. I might have to, do you have his number? I might have to text him. Hey, don't talk about Leviticus. Now, I don't know if your brain does that too. You hear a comedian be like, ice cream's crazy, and you're like, this better not be my ice cream joke. You thief. But no,
Well,
it's true.
that happened to Comedy Night. Sorry, I cut you off. But
No.
that happened the on the Crumbly Cup night, where somebody, I knew my first bit was gonna be me about me being Mexican, and then someone else started talking about that. I'm like, fuck. I was like, I don't want to, but it was like 10 seconds of his minute. I was like, okay, I think I'll be good. But I was prepared to change it, because I did not want to do another minute of Mexican comedy, even though I think it's funny. I didn't want to like hop on that, and I was just gonna switch a couple things around and then get to it later if I made it later. But yeah, that it's especially things like that, or that's never happened to me before, where at the Casual Pint there was three Mexican comics.
Yeah.
And it's never happened where we all like were talked about that. And I was like, okay, yeah. Well.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, there wasn't too much overlap. Yeah, it's true. What I forgot what we got started on, but no, yeah. So you get that feeling of like, you don't want anybody to talk. You're like, why don't you guys all just talk about pianos? Just so I can talk about marriage. Yeah. No one better talk about marriage. Otherwise, you know, but I have you ever experienced, because I've been jotting ideas down for like my whole life. And so it does happen. Have you ever been watching a TV show or stand up or anything and been like, that's literally my line?
Then you're done. You can't do it.
Yeah. Do you have any?
I can't remember specifically. Okay. One thing I do remember is my buddy, who his name's George, he would help me. And I think he had a bit about he had a bit about somebody in movies or whatever, when there's an explosion, they like turn their back to it and they just walk away like all cool or whatever. And he had a bit about that. And then I think it ended up in like SNL, or Andy Samberg did a Lonely Island video about it or something. And it had like, he was like, well, I guess that's done.
Yeah. That's integrity though, to see that it's out there and go, all right, I'm not going to do it. You know? Yeah.
He'll text me when he's listening. He listens to the podcast. He'll text me and tell me exactly what it was, but it's something like that. But you're right. Like then, all right, well, he got it on TV first, and I guess that's it.
My most recent one was Mark Norman, of course, because that dude writes, it seems like he writes 1,000 jokes a day, just his type of comedy. But, you know, I'm like, I hope I'm the only one. But I, years ago, kind of realized, I was like, gingers should get more upset. You know, nobody gets mad when they get called a ginger, but that's literally the N-word rearranged. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm a comic genius. And then of course, Mark Norman of all comics is gonna, he said it on a, maybe his recent special or something like that. But these comics, they put out so much stuff that it's like, it really does make you get more autobiographical. It's like, okay,
yes,
let me talk about being a math teacher and being about a dumb dad who loses his keys, because only I can write that, you know? But if I do just stick to like, wordplay, you know, when and stuff like that, it's like someone else will beat me to it, you know. It's gonna happen. But I mean, I wasn't married to that ginger idea, but I was like, if I
this is sweet, how can I use this?
Yeah, it's just one of those, like, if I'm telling a bit about whatever racism or something, it that's a funny thing to throw in there. But you're like, oh darn, Mark Norman, of course.
And he said, like, he can't just sit and listen and talk normal. He has to, like, there's always puns or bits or something where like something's funny. It has to come out of his mouth. I think there's a podcast where they're giving him shit for that. Like you can't just, everything doesn't have to be a pun. Just sit here and talk.
Yeah. Walkie talkie. Yeah. He'll just always comedy. He's always
comedy.
He knows are just bad, but
yeah.
Some of them will break. Like I'll watch every podcast where it's like him, Ari, Shane Gillis, Joe Rogan, where they get together. Protect Our Parks is what they call it for some reason. But it's just them getting hammered for 5 hours and talking about this. Mark Norman always has.
That might have been in that one where they're like, just don't do that.
Yeah, it's funny though. But that's how his brain's always thinking.
Yeah,
But it's fun to see him, you know, all those, you know. I get like proud of like all these comedians right now that are crushed. I really feel like we're at like the golden age of comedy, like where you see like one of my favorites of all time is Nate Bargatze. I've been into him for like so long, and his comedy teacher, like just a week ago, like the guy who taught him his first ever comedy class in Chicago, he was like, hey, look at this old gem I found. And it was Nate Bargatze's first set ever. It was his showcase set. Yeah. And I watched it like two times in a row. I was like, I just love the magic of like, I'm watching Nate Bargatze mess up jokes, mess up a couple words, but you like see, like, I don't know. It's real inspiring to see that kind of stuff. You're like, dude, they're all just regular people who just kept at it, and Yeah, like Mark Norman, I can only imagine him in the beginning being really, really just all about maybe wordplay and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then now he's like, no, now he's got these solid bits.
And
All
it's
the, yeah.
and that's the hard part for me is like I like doing it. It's fun, and you know, I'm not expecting to like be famous or whatever. Like right now to me it's fun. I can wedge it in every once in a while. I have a full-time job. I got two kids.
Yeah.
I coach a softball team. I help with my son's baseball team. I'm a varsity football coach. Like all these things, like where does comedy fall in? Well, it falls in here. During football season, I'm not gonna do any of it. I just don't have time, you know? So like it just shoehorns in here whenever it can, just because it's fun for me. And if I can, over the years, if I can develop enough time to get paid or whatever. I got paid one time. I got paid $100 to do 20 minutes. This is when I first did it, and I loved it.
Nice.
Like, this is awesome.
That's awesome.
This is the pinnacle of my comedy career, and I'll forever be grateful for
Yes.
that opportunity, you know? So just for me, trying to wedge it in there whenever I can and not get in trouble. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially when you're our age. It's like if I can, yeah, it's just yeah, it's a hobby that I love that like I've always wanted to be like, can I get good at this thing? And then yeah, to get good enough where it's like, hey, do you want to open for this person? Or it's like to me, that's like that'd be so sick, to just do a show. I'm not even thinking about money or anything like that, but it's like, oh, I think I'm starting to figure this thing out and get okay at it, and it's really fun. And just meeting everyone, you see the same people all the time, and they all have that same thing where they write jokes and try them out into a microphone. They're psycho for that. Like, you're like, who's doing that? Like,
And every
it's
once in a while you meet someone or they remember a joke or whatever, and that's cool. Actually, it was we were just talking about that other Mexican comedian that you just mentioned.
Roberto.
Roberto. So when I saw him there, I introduced myself. He goes, we've met each other. I go, oh, I'm sorry, man. He goes, yeah, it was a while ago though. He goes, you have this joke. My wife still brings it up. I go, really? He's like, yeah.
Nice.
I used to do this joke about spelling words because when you're a parent, as you're well aware, I'm sure you spell words so your kids don't understand what you're saying. And so I like, and I said, sometimes it doesn't work out right. And my kids were afraid of spiders. And my wife said, hey, are there any SP eiders? And my kids kind of figured that out. And that's what he told me. He goes, yeah, the ones where you say SP eiders. I'm like, holy shit. That was so long ago, but I'm glad there's someone out
Yeah.
there that liked it, you know?
That's a great feeling.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
Because it for anyone to remember anything you said, because anytime somebody has seen you, they probably saw 12 other people that night. It's like that feels good. Yeah,
Yeah,
it makes
it was
me
pretty
want to
cool.
like be more complimenting. And I feel like I always do try to be that guy at these open mics, like, dude, you killed it. Like that was great. Like I love the, because I know how much that means to me if someone's,
Yeah.
if you put down a mic and walk away and nobody says anything, you're like, all right, it's over. I gave it a
Have you done
try.
open mics yet where it's just the comics and no one's at the open mic?
The smallest one I've done, so like Wendy Kaiser knows the owner of Five Pints, and they let us do that like 2 or 3 times a month. We just go in the back room, and so maybe one time there was like 9 people total, and I think it was five of us. It would have been like me, Nate, Wendy, four of us, and Dave Crumbly. So there's like four comics, 5 people there. So it's like kind of weird.
Yeah, I've done. So when I first did it, I think comedy was, it was probably on the up, but it hadn't quite got there yet. So I would do a show at a cigar bar, and it was always these two dudes and then the comics. And you know, and then I did a show. There used to be one, I forget, it was a the there used to be one on a on a, in a hookah bar on Adam Street, which was usually pretty well attended, but that was when I didn't get home till like midnight. But those guys, Anthony Martinez, he doesn't do comedy anymore, but he was really funny. And Mike Czar, who I don't even know if he does comedy anymore, but they ran that. But there was one, I can't remember the name of the bar. Going into it, you knew it was only going to be comics. There was never been anybody else there. It was just comics. And to me, like to me, if I can make one of my comic friends laugh, then I'll be happy with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I've been realizing too lately is like if you kind of keep your eye on them, you're like, if the comics laugh, that's a nice badge of honor. That feels really good. But yeah, when it's all comics and like, yo, we're all gonna do sets we've all heard before. Like You know what I mean? As you, I've only been doing this a few months, but I still could go like, and you know, Victor is a bit about this, and Lorenzo is a bit about this, and Robert, you know, because there's only, it's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard. I feel like I could write more songs than I could bits. Honestly, like a bits are, you can't just sit down at a computer and be like, "What's funny?" Like Donald Trump's hair is got crazy. I got it. And grab a mic. What's with Trump?
You know, and open mics are, like you said, they're practice, and you could do have a whole 5 minutes, and then you're like, all right, well, the next open mic, I'm gonna do the same 5 minutes, but I'm changing 30 seconds of it. Well, mm-hmm. again, that's it's your practice. But if those comics hear the same bits and they don't notice that 30 seconds, well, then maybe it wasn't impactful, or maybe they did notice, like, oh, I just heard you do that set last week, and I like your changes that you made, or whatever, you know.
Yeah. And also, nobody cares if they're hearing repeats. Well, when I first got into this, I thought like, wait, those same comics will be there, so I can't say this thing about my dog again. You know, it's like, no, dude, we're all. And then I get up there, I see them do like such a similar set to what they did. I'm like, oh, even these veteran comics are repeating stuff. It's like, yeah, that's you're, you know, working on jokes. You're trying to make them better. For me, once something gets a laugh, I'm like, check, that gets a laugh. I want to move on to the new stuff, just because, again, I don't know, if you can only do it 3 or 4 times a month, for me, it's like, I better try as much stuff, but it's so risky that I'm nervous all day. Like,
me too.
Yeah. Cause I'm not because of the crowd, just cause the new material. Like, what if I come off, I don't know. I did a Ramadan thing at the last one, and I'm like, you just don't want, it's like, dude, if I'm Middle Eastern, then yeah, then this joke kills. But it's like, I have to present it in a way that doesn't make me, it went well.
Yeah.
Because of how I said, like, how I'm a teacher and the Muslim kids during Ramadan get to go to the library. I think that's great. And, like, the whole premise is, like,
that was good.
That was not happening in my post 9/11 high school, you know?
Yeah.
And then I get to say all this crazy stuff, right? But it's like, you can't say all this racist stuff until you, right? Because I'm acting like a you know, a conservative teacher in 2002 versus, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, we're going to let them meet in the library and all that stuff. But you're afraid that you're going to come off as, or like, you don't really know until you've done something a few times. Sometimes you'll do like, all right, this is my best joke ever. And then you do it for like only 2 times. If I experience, like, even at the Casual Pint one time, it was this crowd like this.
Yeah.
I'm watching like Rachel Lee, Victor, Dave Crumbly, like, get these kind of audiences too. And I was like, okay, something's wrong. Not that none of them got let, like, everybody was getting some, but it was just so weird. Like, maybe they were all on fentanyl or something like that. Like, what's happening? Then you say your best line ever, and you want to just say after that, like, hey, that is funny. Just so you guys know, that is funny. You just want to show your YouTube video. Like, this is, this was in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Yeah. And they laugh.
I promise you, it's funny. Yeah. And you've probably experienced that too with lines you have that you know are funny. And then it's just someone's had too many Coors Lights or something, and they're not really paying attention. You're like, can you wake up, man?
Yeah. You know, I had friends who always asked if I get nervous or whatever. I was like, yeah, I'm always nervous. But as soon as I go up there, I know what I'm going to say. So I'm less nervous, you know, because I start talking, you know. But I enjoy public speaking. Like, I really like public speaking.
Oh.
You know, being a football coach, like, I like pregame speeches were always my thing when I was when I used to be a head freshman football coach. I'm a varsity assistant now. So I used to get pregame speeches when I was a freshman coach. Like, I like all these things and motivational speeches and that kind of stuff. And just had a talk at one of my friend's moms passed away, and they asked if I wanted to say something at the funeral. So I was nervous about that too. And, you know, but once you get up there and I know what I'm going to say, then it's all good. But it's, every time I speak, it's leading up to it is nerve wracking, and until I get up there. But I do enjoy it. I like doing it.
Yeah. Oh, so I don't have that. So where do you, what do you coach?
I coach for Perrysburg. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I observed the head coach's classroom this past school year, I think. Who's the head Perrysburg?
Dirk Connor.
He teaches some geometry. He teaches some. Interesting. Anyway, sorry. But no, I that's not me. I really am pretty introvert. I don't think I could like get a team and be like, guys, tonight we got a, especially since I wasn't a football guy, but that's fun. So you get some practice and you get some, you know, that's cathartic. That's cool.
Dude, but I do stress about that. Cause so right now I'm a tight ends coach and I get about 20 seconds on Friday nights when we do our pregame stuff. I have the tight ends, we run our little drills, and then I get about 20 seconds to like pump them up a little bit more. Which through the season, through as the games go on, you learn what they like and what they don't like as far as like how you interact. So unfortunately for me, the defense goes first, and the defensive line coach, which where most of my tight ends come from, they also play defensive line. He used to be a head coach at Genoa. He is super animated, like all excited, this and that or whatever. And then they come to me, which I am not that way. And we'll do our drills or whatever. And I'll start talking and I'll say my thing. And then they go, I'm like, and in my head, I'm like, all right, well, all right, here's what I got to prepare next week or whatever. And
you know, so, you're tweaking it.
Yeah. So I learn like what they like and they like that he does that. They don't like when I do it because it's forced that I'm not that excitable. So I got to use my words more than anything. And they appreciate that. Like, even if it's simple as like, I think throughout the season, one of the times, one of my tight ends said like, yeah, we're going to something about like, we're going to cut their fucking heads off or something like that, you know? And so then after every speech, I would point to him like, and then what? And then he would say it and they liked that. And then like our playoff game against Whitmer, actually our playoff game, I said it and they lost their minds.
Yeah. So, nice. Oh, that's awesome. Like,
now don't go tell your parents.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's fun learning. It's fun learning that stuff.
Any type of communication is a fun. It is fun.
I would imagine similar to you in a classroom. Like if you can, like if you're talking, I'm sure there's some classes that come in and you're like, all right. By this point, you're like, all right, this is a class I really got to stay on top of because if one person starts talking, they're all going to start talking. Or this class, we can all chit chat because they still get their work done. Or like just learning each class and how you interact with them. And some you can joke with, and some you can't. It's just based on what it is.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Especially someone who teaches mostly freshmen. Like this year, I've got two classes that are just like really great for freshman class, and then two were like. Like most of the kids in the class are pretty careless and like don't want to work. And so it's like you with like two of my periods, it's like, yo, I can say a joke here and there. We can laugh and then come back. And then the other ones, it's like, it's might not even be worth it to be the funny guy here, but a big part of teaching, like not everyone agrees with it, but I've learned that like with teenagers, at least like if they like you, they'll pay attention. Like, and that's what's tough. And I think most of the people I work with are great. And like, we got great teachers at our school and everything like that. But that's always been my thing. Cause I'm not huge. I'm not scary. So it's like, you're going to like me and you're going to like how I help you. And you're going to like, you know, we're going to have, you know, we'll be funny and stuff like that. But, I feel like that's why. What's up, dog? Hey, Calvin. See, this guy likes me.
Well, you, like you said, you gotta, you're there to teach them the information and hopefully you have fun doing it. And sometimes you don't have fun because of how the classroom is. And this is just, all right, well, we're not going to, for the next 45 minutes, I'm not going to have the best day or the best time, but I'm going to do my job. I'm going to get them the whatever I'm teaching them, they're going to learn. And math is hard too, because math is terrible and no one likes it. So I was terrible at math. I liked geometry. Yeah. I don't know why. I liked geometry. Algebra 2, I'm pretty sure I got some help in passing the class. But it's hard. I didn't like it because it was difficult.
Yeah. And that's the hard about teaching math is you have by high school, it's like some kids are good at math and some kids aren't. However, what I'll say is I love when my kids who like really are weak in math, when they get like an A or a B in my class, because it's like that kid just worked so hard. If you're good at math, you really don't have to try that hard. Like the homework's going to take you 5 minutes studying for the test. Okay, I know this. You're going to get an A on the test. And you're just lucky. It's like being 7 feet tall and being that guy and playing in middle school or something. Like you're going to score, man. You're going to score. But that's what's crazy. It's like on the first week of school, you get to know which kids like are going to probably fail. Cause you're like, they don't really understand like addition and subtraction, multiple, and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But it, you know, it goes back to being a kid and those fundamental years that if you didn't really grasp things early on, it's like, now I gotta, you gotta understand graphing a parabola. Like that's not gonna, it's just not gonna make too much sense if the basics aren't there. But
Well, I'm glad both my children right now are really good at math. So as long as we can keep that track, then
because
I cannot help them. That'll be their, that'll be their mom. History, English, I'm all there, but not that. But well, we're over a little over an hour. I told you an hour, so I won't keep you longer. I know you got plenty of green beer to drink, so I'll let you get to that. I started it by saying I wouldn't say a shitty Irish joke, and then I ended it by saying one anyway. So
yeah, you want to end with a kiss? Kiss me, I'm Irish, and then we both pucker up to the camera. Or, and my dog's got a shamrock bandana thing on right now. Well, no, this is super fun. Sorry if it was too scattered. I don't know.
No, this is exactly what they are. This is
okay.
Actually, these are more what I like. A lot of times, a lot of new guests will come on and I like go through their life, but if we never get there, we never get there. Like usually I say, where'd you grow up, how'd you become a teacher, blah blah blah, all this stuff. But like you know, we just started talking and this is perfect. No, this is great. I appreciate you coming on, especially for some stranger just handing you a business card saying, hey, come on my podcast. So
yeah, man, this is very fun. Keep in touch, and I'm sure I'm gonna see you around.
Oh yeah, for sure. Thanks
Ed. Awesome. Yeah, thank you, thanks so much.
Thanks again to my guest, Ed McCarthy, for coming on the podcast. I met him a few weeks ago at a comedy competition, and that's why we talked a lot about comedy, because that's what we both are doing right now. Music was cool. Whenever I can find someone to talk about emo music with, that's always fun. I feel like there isn't a lot of people that are into that. And then when high school students ask me what kind of music I like and I tell them, they don't even know what I'm talking about. So it was cool to go through all that and reminisce about old songs and that kind of stuff. So again, appreciate Ed for coming on the podcast. Thanks to all of you for listening, downloading, sharing, subscribing to this podcast. It's going great. I'm really enjoying myself. As we get closer to, I guess the next milestone will be 250. I think this is 221. So we're getting up there. It's fun. Appreciate all of you. Keep doing what you're doing. Again, hit us up at thenerdballpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to come on the podcast or any social media, just search The Nerdball Podcast. As always, thanks to Real JP Multimedia, Cuttlefish Graphics, Perrysburg Junior High STEM Lab, and Big Daddy Graphics for always helping out the podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.